This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we are in the legal tampering period, and look, we have already seen some things go down, including Hassan Reddick. Reddick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, per Adam Schefter. That is one of the first things that I've seen, in addition to the things that we already knew today. Khalil Mack re-signed with the Chargers on a one-year deal. That's 1 year, $18 million. So he's still in a realm where he's getting paid kind of nicely as a pass rusher, paid kind of like guys that are maybe 6 years his senior, or his junior, rather. He's still in there. We mentioned the J.C. Horn, 4 for $100 million that happened earlier. That's an extension. Grady Jarrett, defensive lineman, released by the Falcons. But the first thing I'm seeing in the NFL free agency when it comes to the legal tampering period, it is indeed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Hassan Reddick, the single best negotiators in the league, because they did that within mere minutes. 2 minutes.
We have a winner.
They managed to negotiate a whole deal in 2 minutes, if you are to believe that they started when it became legal for them to do it.
Got the bonuses all ironed out.
Let me get that agent,
got
man.
Got the cap structure all ironed out. That's good stuff right there.
That should
right
be a
there.
World record, right?
That's, well, I don't know. It's been tied a bunch of times. It's been tied.
Yeah, absolutely. So somebody said principal caught them putting their buddy in the trunk when we were talking about the various dumb things. I'll circle back around. There's too many. There's too many things to get to.
We might
to
have
there.
To revisit.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. But as we go around the NFL, pre-agency was a mess. And there was a whole bunch of things that happened. Let's start with Saturday. We mentioned the Myles Garrett extension. Were you sad when you found out that your crush, your free agency crush for the Texans, Aaron Jones, was re-signing with the Vikings on a 2-year, $20 million deal?
It was just $10 million a year, man. Come on. Just $10 million a year.
No, I'm actually shocked he got that much.
Yeah, I am. Crushed, no. I it was pipe dream stuff for me with the Texans getting a running back, you know, because, you know, again, sort of like in the same vein, it's not nothing against, we've talked about it, Damian Pierce, but that upgrade would have been nice. But he's going to be the guy now. He's going to be the guy in Minnesota. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't going to happen.
No,
either,
no, that was pipe
with Joe Mixon.
Yeah, that was pipe dream.
Yeah, you would be lucky if they draft somebody in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so there's that. In addition to that, the Seahawks did some really interesting things. So we know that they traded DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Actually, we didn't even talk about that yet.
Like,
there's so many things that happened earlier on the week that I'm like, yeah, that's been well covered. Except, no, we have not talked about that yet.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf, who would, I mean, mere, I think, less than an hour before this happened, we had seen that, the Texans really could be a landing spot for him. He ultimately ends up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they trade for him, and they trade a third-round pick for him, and then they give him a 5-year, $150 million contract.
No, thank you.
Well, yes. Yeah. From the Texans perspective, 100% that is a big old no thank you. Yeah. No way should the Texans have been at all involved in that. And I imagine that's exactly how it went. Nick called him up and was like, hey, what's going on? Nope. Yeah,
and see, the only reason I think they were involved because, I guess, reportedly, he wanted to play for a contender and wanted to play in a warm weather city.
Mm-hmm. Those were the reports that had been put out there. In addition to supposedly, he just was like hot on the idea of playing.
I know Pittsburgh was that warm of a city.
Yeah, I guess. You know, it depends on the money you're making.
And so now,
how do you like in Pittsburgh? Huh?
Feeling warm now.
How do you like this move for the Steelers? Because I look around and I go, look, you only had one good receiver really last year in George Pickens. Now you have two. However, both of them are kind of like deep ball 50-50 guys. Mm-hmm. And also, both of those guys, I don't know what the nice way is to say this. Sometimes I wonder how locked in they are. Is one of the things I'll ask.
Well, Geno, for sure, Pickens, of course.
Son of Geno, yes. Yeah. George Pickens, his reputation precedes him anywhere that he goes in being a little bit of a knucklehead in this league. But DK Metcalf, not quite in the same way, but there was instances where there was like turnovers for Geno Smith last season with the Seahawks because DK Metcalf just a little bit of freestyling and not being where he was supposed to be. You bring all that together, and I guess one of the questions that one of my homeboys asked me this weekend, who the heck is throwing them the football?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. You know who throws a great 50-50 deep ball?
Who, Russ?
Aaron Rodgers.
Ah. Mm. Which?
Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, he's going to the Steelers.
Okay. Because that was something that...
Yeah, he's going to the Steelers. That's tailor-made for his swan song.
Well, is it? Because I was like, it had not been mentioned very much until, I believe, yesterday, if memory serves. The whole weekend is one big blur, so apologies if it was Saturday as opposed to Sunday. But that came up this weekend, the idea that, hey, this is something that could happen, as you mentioned, because you have those particular group of wide receivers, the deep ball and all that. Only thing that got me there is, one, early in the weekend, there was thoughts that maybe there could be some possible love with him and the Vikings, where he would fully complete the Brett Favre arc.
Right,
going from...
Watch out, Jordan Love. You're going to be on that same path.
To Jets. To Vikings?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love going to play for the Jets.
It could be a Jet.
Then going to the Vikings.
If you were wondering about free will versus predestination, it seems like that is being settled there by Aaron Rodgers in that particular way. No, but also, I just think about it. Arthur Smith got to be sick of that. I imagine Mike Tomlin needs some hazard pay because you got those guys and then Aaron Rodgers with all of the things that he typically comes with. Yes, you could say he doesn't have a leg to stand on. There's not a robust place market for him. But also, he just seems to operate in such a way where he has to work in the confines of the way he works, which is...
And I think Tomlin would let him.
I don't... Why do you believe that? I'd like to know.
I think Tomlin, you know, he is kind of... Obviously, he's known as a defensive-minded coach and all this other stuff. But I think he's more of the CEO type that would, you know, sort of manages personalities. We know how well-liked he is, the way that he handles people. Even Pickens, hell, you can go back to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but those guys conform. He has those guys conform. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers in the place where the quarterback has enough leverage in these things where you need goodwill from the quarterback buying into what you're doing. And Aaron Rodgers has never really screamed goodwill.
But I think he'll let Aaron Rodgers run the offense, so to speak.
But see, even with Antonio Brown, that was kind of a little earlier on when the Steelers were successful.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, they're still successful. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like if you bring in somebody like Aaron Rodgers and it don't go right, he could potentially get fired for that.
Potentially. I mean, there's no question. But he also knows that. Like Mike Tomlin, as much as job security as he should have, and probably does have from the family, there's a lot more, you know, buzz around, like, is he, you know, kind of spinning his wheels now, et cetera. What's his playoff record and all that? Hey, Aaron, this is your offensive coordinator. Figure it out. I'll let you.
Well,
I'm
going to
manage all the heat.
Is that a mirror? Because Aaron Rodgers believes that his offense...
Jim Hackett.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers believes his offense coordinator is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So I do wonder how all of that comes together. Plus, how many of his homeboys do you need to bring with him? I don't know. But
why would you bring in DK Metcalf and bring back Russell Wilson?
Well, I don't even think that Russell Wilson... But I think Justin Fields is...
Why would you bring in Justin Fields?
However, I do. Yeah. Like, there is a tacit acknowledgement that there's not really a great option out there.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
I can see it.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about where we want, where we think those quarterbacks should land. Some other things that happened. Davante Adams, another one of those guys that was a look. He ends up signing with the Los Angeles Rams, so he does go back to the West Coast, as was reported. He does not end up with your Texans. Mm-hmm. A relatively manageable deal. What was it, 2 for $26 mm-hmm. is where he lands out there with the Rams. Would you have done that?
I feel like the Rams were in a place where they're like, you know what, maybe we should retool. And then they go, nah, let's go ahead and bring back Matt Stafford. Let's go ahead and bring in Davante Adams, et cetera. I like the deal. I think their receiving core with, you know, obviously Puka and Atwell and now Adams, that's a potentially very, very dangerous receiving core. Yeah, so I think the Rams are in a good place. I really do.
All right. I think that contract was 2 for $44 million, I want to say.
Okay.
Was it 2 for $44 million?
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, yeah, sorry. I've again, mixed those up. Appreciate you keeping me clean there. But yes, 2 for $44 million. Bigger money. Mm-hmm. $20 million. That's right. On a little bit upwards of $20 million.
If it was 2 for $26 million, I would have been pissed off at Nick Casario. Yes. Like, why you ain't go?
Right.
What's that?
Right. Fair. 100% fair. Yeah, he gets 20, like 23 on the first year, I think, or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. But yes, they get Davante Adams, which is funny. That raised a lot of the jokes where it's like, hey, you are looking to get rid of a wide receiver who's getting paid a lot. Who is a little bit older in Cooper Kupp, and here comes Davante Adams bringing him in. But I'll be interested to see just how they make that work, because you have that particular cost on Davante Adams, but you're not saving that much moving on from Cooper Kupp. I think they stand to save maybe like $13 million in cap space when they trade Cooper Kupp, as they have said that they will.
You might say something about Cooper Kupp, you know, the fact that they did this and were willing to move on. You know, Cooper Kupp was saying all weekend, hey, I'm feeling better than I ever have.
Did a whole profile.
I'm ascending,
and
I'm not descending, all this other stuff. But I think maybe that's the Rams kind of figured that's something out.
They ain't going to keep Adams, Puka, and Kupp.
Correct.
We're already getting a lot of news in early on in the legal tampering period. And yes, 832, you are correct. So much for the Friday news dump, which I get it, but this is how it's structured. It's structured so that, you know, once these things happen, we learn about them. And a few of the things going on, Chris Godwin off the table. If anybody had any pipe dreams of that wide receiver making his way to Houston, he returns to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 3-year, $66 million contract. So again, that $22 million range for these guys, $44 million of that guaranteed. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that feels like the right move to make.
That's about the right price. That's about the right move for Tampa's. Tampa's making a little noise, man. Tampa's early on making some noise here.
Yeah, I mean, they have a little bit of a continuity, although they will have a new offensive coordinator, as we know. But you have Baker Mayfield in a place where he gets year-over-year comfort, and he keeps his wide receiver, one of his better ones, Chris Godwin. Another one, as we were asking questions as to what are the Kansas City Chiefs doing on the offensive line? One of those answers has been answered in their signing of left tackle Jalen Moore, who signs a 2-year, $30 million deal. He is one of those guys that was kind of looked at as like a starter caliber guy, and he will step in at left tackle for them. So that was a place where you know that they had a lot of issues, and that's one of the reasons why we saw Joe Thuney, who now is with the Bears, play left tackle instead of guard against your Houston Texans, because they had issues at left tackle. They try and solidify that with a $30 million man in Jalen Moore.
Yeah, and you know, they as we've mentioned in the past, I think they really, really want to fix the tackle position. That would be their first step toward doing that.
Yeah, a lot of these coming in hot and heavy, and yes, we're having a tough time. Because X is acting up. Twitter, the Elon Musk vehicle, it's losing in this moment. So
everybody go to Blue Sky.
I'm telling you, Blue Sky, opportunity.
Everybody go to Threads.
This is like Zoom during COVID. Like, hey, have you tried this Blue Sky thing? Have you tried this Zoom thing? No, let's go. And now all of a sudden, it's a $1 billion company.
Yeah. a little bit more on Jalen Moore. Matt Miller, who's a NFL draft scout, kind of he's in that media space. So the Jalen Moore was seen as an upside tackle in the free agent class, ascending player and an athletic mover. So it makes sense. It seems like the Chiefs are trying to find a way to get younger a little bit, but also have some upside, again, to use that word, which makes sense. I feel like that's the right way to go for Brett Veach and that team is, and it sucks because I was starting to hope that maybe we were seeing the decline of the era for the Chiefs, but I think that's a smart move. Try and find young but also ascending players to maybe help you pry open a window. It almost feels kind of like something that you hope the Astros do, right, in a different vein.
Yeah.
Young ascending players, hello Cam Smith, to help you then transition into another era, but continue to match those with the great players that you already have.
Yeah, look, and fortunately, we do have access to the tracker here. So despite Twitter, we can keep you informed on everything that's happening as the legal tampering period is open, and we're getting basically agreements in just a matter of moments.
All right, so we'll circle back around to some of the more agreements that we've gotten early on into the legal tampering period, but I want to circle back around to this, and maybe we need more time for it. Josh Allen gets a big-time contract. We mentioned a couple of the other guys that have gotten contracts over this past weekend that probably are going to affect your Houston Texans. This one is a big one. Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, we know, gets the deal that he had already had ripped up so that Josh Allen could then end up with a pretty solid extension. 6-year, $330 million. He's the highest paid payer in NFL history now. Rips up the previously agreed to contract. However, it's only 19.7% of the cap at signing.
Well, that's why he did it.
Which is good for 13th, yeah. Right? It's more than he was previously dealt with. So obviously they do something to try and make sure that their guy, who really is just the centerpiece of what they're doing, keeps him happy, MVP caliber player in Josh Allen. However, I do find this to be interesting. Again, we're seeing the big numbers of $330 million, and mm-hmm. I think that's going to be something that is going to be it's gonna be instructive for CJ Stroud mm-hmm. once you get to that place. But also seeing that salary, the percentage of the cap kind of normalize a little bit, kind of makes me happy, because I think one of the things that people were worrying about, especially seeing what Dak Prescott get the $60 million mm-hmm. and a high percentage of the cap at that for a short-term contract, for, yeah. I guess relatively, was that, oh my goodness, is yeah. this going to be a place where quarterbacks are eating up so much of the cap that you can't even build around a guy once you pay him? This, honestly, I was kind of emboldened by this. I was mm-hmm. happy by Josh Allen. Yes, it's gonna be big money for CJ Stroud, but we knew that it might be a little bit in a way where you know that you're gonna have to pay the quarterback, but you still have a little bit of room to work around
that. And it has to be essential in terms of percentage of the cap, because you have two other guys that are getting paid as well. So yeah, he's gonna get monstrous numbers, but you're right. The percentage at the quarterback position here may be more important than anywhere, considering Will Anderson and Derek Stingley.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, the legal tampering period. We're in it, baby. Let's see what's going down all the way around, and we'll do that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, the Houston Texans are on the board in the legal tampering period of the National Football League. I always worry, like, using this, that is this going to be too big for the news? But the Texans have...
It could be a starter, in a sense.
All right.
Could be.
The Texans have... You know, see, people are going to be mad now. Braxton Berrios. Wide receiver Braxton Berrios. Fair.
Don't bury the lead.
Wide receiver Braxton Berrios will join the Houston Texans.
Could be a starter, in a sense.
People are going to be mad at you.
In a sense.
What is the sense?
In a sense of what?
Kick returner, punt returner.
All right.
I think, okay.
All right. We wasted all right. this.
Right. No, you are right.
There are three parts of the game. Offense, defense, and Frank Ross.
Thank you, Frank Ross.
Goodness.
I'm telling you, this says something about Robert Woods.
I think it could.
It says something about Steven Sims. Braxton Berrios did both. He did punt returns and kick returns.
Which is valuable.
Which is very, very valuable. That is a potential extra slot on the roster. Let's not downplay this too much.
Yeah, okay.
It could be a space on the roster if he can do both.
So Braxton Berrios, who is headed into his age 30 season, is coming off of an ACL.
Oh, there is that. I forgot to mention that part.
Played 6 games last year, coming off an ACL.
Did I not mention that?
You didn't, but that's
possible
my role.
Possible starter.
Right? Kind of been more of a slot guy, right? A quick, shifty type of guy. He was an all-pro as a returner. And when he was with the Jets.
Oh, say that again?
He was an all-pro as a returner.
Oh, okay, Figgy.
However, that was.
Possible starter, guys.
2021, mind you. But, like, this is possible. Like, this you're looking at as his potential depth receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, obviously, like, you have Christian Kirk, who is going to slot in. No pun intended, into your slot situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gives you a little bit of depth, right? Especially without having another one of those kind of really quick shifty receivers with Tank Dell down, even though I don't even know how much you would use him as a slot receiver in an instance where you needed to. But possible returner, come in and see what he has. See what he has coming off of an ACL injury. I think this is an interesting move. But again, not really the big one. And I don't think this precludes them from going, well, obviously, to go draft a guy because you still need somebody to be that Z receiver with Nico and then, of course, Christian Kirk in the slot. But then on top of that, like, this feels like competition. But I feel like you could still get more competition possibly in free agency if you are interested in it. Although, the numbers when it comes to free agents is big. We mentioned the Chris Godwin returning to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a 3-year, $66 million deal. According to Ian Rappaport, Godwin left $20 million on the table in order to return to Tampa. And maybe that means that $20 million on the total deal, but I'm starting to believe that means like $20 million on the actual contract, which would take him.
What could have been guarantees you're talking about?
I don't know about guaranteed, but like on the three-year contract, $20 million would have taken the annual average value to somewhere between like $27 to $30 million for a wide receiver and Chris Godwin. That's where it feels like the market is for a guy who's going to be an impact type wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be instructive for the Texans in what they're going to do in free agency wide receiver wise. And that makes me personally lean towards, if you're going to spend money, it's probably going to be one of those guard positions. I think maybe wide receiver in the first 3 rounds is probably more likely.
Totally agree. I think keep an eye on Zeitler at guard. drafting a wide receiver. It's kind of trending that direction, wouldn't you think? And let me ask you guys this. How do we feel about Robert Woods right now?
Well, with the signing of Braxton Berrios again.
Thank you for your service, man.
Yeah. Wow. If you missed it, Braxton Berrios, who was previously with the Miami Dolphins, he's coming off an ACL tear that ended his season, although that was in week six. So the timeline makes it a little bit more likely that he returns closer to form. But that'll be his age 30 season. But yeah, man, he is profiles more as a returner. Robert Woods was in that place where he was kind of supposed to be your Noah Brown, where, you know, you kind of just put him where you need him. And then he had to take over the role of returning when you had Steven Sims kind of, you let him go and you had some injuries and such. And then Robert Woods took over that role. I don't know that I was all that impressed with him as a returner.
He was more of a fair catch guy.
It did kind of feel like that.
Right.
And I don't know that he is somebody that you need to return this year.
Yeah. No, and that's where I am, too. You know, kickoff returns, if he can do that, that's just a bonus. Damian Pierce returned some kicks. He did quite a good job on that.
He did. He absolutely did.
So who knows if it impacts him at all, but it's nice to have Berrios there. Xavier Hutchinson returned some kicks occasionally. So it gets interesting. And this is where having a great general manager or even a very good general manager makes the difference. You get those little slots that you can maybe steal another player or have better competition in certain positions because you got both the return spots, if he pans out, locked up with a guy that can do both.
Yeah. So Braxton Berrios, wide receiver, previously come from the Miami Dolphins. He'll slot in I imagine, to just be competition. 30-year-old coming off of an ACL tear, week six, if I remember correctly, of last season. He'll come in and give some competition. Another wide receiver, but not one that's going to stop this Texas team from doing something at the top of their depth chart as starters. But maybe he could be the return guy that Steven Sims is no longer for this team. All right, some other things that are happening in free agency. Many things happening. One of the big ones, center Drew Dolman. Previously with the Falcons, he joins the Bears on a 3-year deal worth $42 million. They've spent a lot of money, invested a lot of that money that they've had in the salary cap on offensive linemen. That means they imported the entirety of the interior of their offensive line this offseason, the Bears did. And so, look, the interior offensive line looks like big money, man. Big money is going to be there if you want to get one. Fair point for the A43 as I step away from Dolman for a second. Braxton Berrios was a Patriots draft pick. Casario, there's that familiarity there. Maybe that's what allows you to do that. But going back to just the offensive line, you have that, and then you had another guard sign to Tampa, where it looks like, hey, man, I mean, we knew this. The guard depth was not a lot out there, and so it was going to be a robust market. But it looks like, man, interior offensive line is going to be pricey in this free agency, which we kind of knew. How optimistic are you that the Texans get their guy when it comes to free agency?
Yeah, very optimistic. And the reason that I feel that way is this is one of the things that we've mentioned today already. I think they're looking for value in those margins that can maybe raise their game a little bit. You know, you could see that with Sheldon Rankins. You know, there are some others that they're in the mix for on the defensive side in particular. Obviously, Berrios, a returner, trying to find, you know, with a 1-year, $2 million deal, that's value if you can find it, if you can find what, you know, something out of him, which means that they're going to save the money that they're creating for the offensive side of the ball. And specifically, that means, because they've already got Christian Kirk, specifically, that means the interior offensive line. It still makes me wonder about guys like Titus Howard. You know how that's going to play out, and because clearly they're going to focus on the interior offensive line. I am optimistic they're going to get a guy. Zeitler has been mentioned. Some others have been mentioned.
That's what I am crossing my fingers for the likes of Kevin Zeitler, the guard who previously or this past season played.
I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to find one
cheap 1-year deal with the Lions. It just feels like he's still got the juice to play the game at a high level. If you watch him with Detroit last year, obviously Detroit. Fantastic offensive line. Not that he was doing that alone, but he was definitely carrying his weight in that circumstance. But then also, he is an older player. He's, you know, understands a good kind of mentality in this league on the offensive line. And I imagine that he could bring something culturally to that offensive line room that it seems like really matters. And that we've had some questions on how good that is. So it feels like that would be a great opportunity with Cole Popovich, with Nick Haley coming in, wanting to really instill running the football better.
I think that that would be really cool if you could bring in like a Kevin Zeitler.
And, you know, the 281 says, is there a reason we keep going out and getting hurt players? I mean, this is where your homework and your medicals and all that, because you this is what you have to do if you're going to spend elsewhere big. You have to be able to take a roll of the dice on Christian Kirk, which, by the way, a lot of people are saying they expect him to be just fine, and you know, et cetera, and Berrios for that matter.
Yeah, Christian Kirk, that was a broken clavicle. Yeah. Like that's those are the things that I feel okay about. Like it's a deep tissue type things where like. Mm-hmm. I mean, ACL is one of those things that you have to have concerns for. Like, mm-hmm. again, this feels like the Braxton Berrios edition, which, again, if you did not hear that, Texans signing wide receiver Braxton Berrios, mostly a return guy, maybe a depth piece. It still feels like that is one of those things. Bring in some competition, and maybe if you find something that's cool, which it does feel like that seems to be the better way to handle free agency this year. You're not coming in and getting the major foundational or, like, big boulders that you're putting on the foundation of this thing, but you're trying to see. Can you get a flyer on a guy that maybe can come in and help you? And if not, very small cost to see, and you keep moving. Like that feels like good, good team building at this point. A couple of defensive tackles, however, are off the board. Javon Kinlaw has signed with none other than the Washington Commanders, a team that is just doing a great job of adding talent over the last couple of years. He gets a 3-year, $45 million deal with $30 million, in essence, 2 years of that guaranteed. That was a defensive tackle that I thought was an interesting one that I know some people were like, hey, could you get a Javon Kinlaw as you're looking for guys to go and be potential guys that can go up the field and really make impacts as opposed to just kind of being solid.
Yeah.
And then also B.J. Hill, which was a name that was specifically tied to the Texans. I know that Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle had mentioned him after the combine. B.J. Hill will remain with the Cincinnati Bengals. They're spending a little bit of money, 3 for $33 million there. So a couple of defensive tackles going off the board. With Sheldon Rankins, do you anticipate another guy defensively? You don't have you still don't have like that one technique necessarily.
You don't have the big you know big time player that can transform the interior defense in terms of pressuring the quarterback. But I think they like what they got in Sheldon Rankins. He had one of his best seasons, probably his second best season of his career with the Texans. And I think they like the other guys that are here. So with those ends, it makes them better anyway. So I don't anticipate. It's kind of funneling down. We're getting a better idea of where they're going to face, you know, spend their money on the at least in free agency. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be defensive tackle. Could be wrong, but I don't think so.
So okay, when in saying that, just to put it out there, where do you anticipate the Texans spending their money free agent wise?
Guard, at least one, but for sure one guard. I think that's something that we have to keep our eye on, and. We haven't heard about Dre Greenlaw yet. We thought that might be something that'd be popping here pretty soon.
Yeah, we have not. That'd be huge, a flag that was sent up. The idea that hey, keep an eye out for
linebacker,
the Texans.
By the way,
the Texans might have some interest in linebacker Dre Greenlaw. Previously played with the Niners. Maybe you pair him with Aziz Al-Shaair, with their former coach D'Amico Ryans. I guess when D'Amico was the defensive coordinator there in San Francisco, and then flourished. We'll see if any of that comes to fruition. As we are in the legal tampering period, things are moving and shaking, flying around my head right now as we try and keep you abreast of all the things that are happening there. Coming up next here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into what's popping. We'll do that.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get back into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Things are happening fast,
things
man.
Things are indeed happening in the NFL. Free agency has begun with the legal tampering period going on with the new league year happening in the NFL on Wednesday. Teams are agreeing in principle to deals with free agents in various situations. And when it comes to your Texans, Sheldon Rankins returning home, 1 year, $7 million deal. Previously, he had left to go play with the Bengals for a pretty solid deal. 2 years, 24 and a half, and did not see the end of that deal. They let him go this past year, and so he will have opportunity to return and get back to the ways that he had previously been. Seems like he fits very well. Obviously, he's played under D'Amico Ryans in this defensive system. He's played well, been able to, as a defensive tackle, generate some pressure, get some sacks, and I imagine that only gets much better now playing alongside Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. So I imagine
that had something to do with it.
I mean, I'm sure that wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
And so he's making less this year than he did previously when he was with the Houston Texans. So I kind of really love another one of those kind of under the radar, relatively cheap deal that just fits nicely for the Texans.
It's just so nice to have competence. You know, we went so many years. You know, I'm looking at all these moves because I really haven't seen one that I'm like even raising an eyebrow to yet that the Texans have made. You know, just go down the list. You know, the guys they've decided to release, the guys they've decided to bring in. You know, a player like Sheldon Rankins just seems like we went so long with incompetence. And I know it's been a while now. It's just we're in a good spot. You know, it just feels like they're doing things smartly. And I think we're going to get some more of that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, welcome back home, Sheldon Rankins. If we're looking at a full accounting, what the Texans have done, I guess just on today, there's that. And there's also Braxton Berrios, wide receiver. He will join the team. I'm interested to see, like, I'm not certain as I think about it that he actually makes the roster at this point, but I mean, good competition, return type guy coming off an ACL, see what he still has speed wise and quickness wise.
Yeah.
And, he could be kind of like a depth slot guy.
I mean, it's a 1 year, $2 million deal.
Yeah. It's taking the flyer.
Nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be found money.
Again, competence. Kick the tires, see what he's got. You might be able to get lucky and have a guy that can be very, very versatile in the return game.
Absolutely. So that's what's going on, at least specifically with your Texans at this point. We continue to watch the spaces to see if anything comes down that ultimately, that ultimately shifts what's happening with your Texans in free agency. I remember earlier in the day, I guess it was Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, about 45 minutes before we hit the 11 o'clock time barrier that brought us into the legal tampering period, said, hey, watch out. Watch the space of Dre Greenlaw, linebacker for the Niners, or I guess free agent, but previously linebacker for the Niners, that was a place that the Texans might throw some interest. And so it feels like when you say things in that way, you might be possibly putting forward the idea that is something that is probably relatively close. But we know Nick Caserio. He's not gonna tamper before the legal tampering period. So I imagine
that's my GM.
Yeah, playing by the rules, baby.
Mike Silver says the Texans are quote in the mix for Dre Greenlaw as well.
So excellent.
Might be a little fire to that smoke.
Excellent. Yeah. We'll talk more about this later. But your Rockets get a victory against the Pelicans, a much expected victory against the Pelicans. They really blow the doors off of the Pels at home on Saturday. And it would be all rainbows, unicorns, if not for one thing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that Amen Thompson lands on a defender late in the game. I mean, it's a 30-point lead with about 5.5 minutes to go. Amen Thompson lands on the defender, and it seems like he has sprained his ankle that will keep him out, according to Shams Charania, for 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, that is you just have, who's going to play point guard? Because obviously maybe Fred VanVleet, is he still day to day, not week to week? We'll see. Apparently he's relisted as
he is listed as a game time decision for tonight. We'll see what that looks like. Obviously they're playing the Orlando. I say obviously they're playing the Orlando Magic tonight. I probably shouldn't say that in terms that make it seem like that is certain. But yeah, they're playing the Orlando Magic at the Toyota Center. It's a 7 p.m. tip. But
Reed Sheppard is out 4 weeks.
Yeah, Reed Sheppard apparently broke his thumb in playing the Pelicans the prior game, and apparently he broke it trying to like rake down
somebody
on Zion, and he broke I think the upper portion of the finger, like the upper joint, and that is going to keep him out 4 weeks. So that is it's really kind of sad. Reed had seemed to find, he had that breakout game, seemed like he was finding a good balance, finding of scoring and being able to like actually facilitate a little bit. And this would have been a really interesting opportunity to maybe see if you could work him into the rotation.
In
the absence of Amen Thompson. But yeah, hopefully Fred is able to return immediately, so at least you have that ball handling, because Amen Thompson had taken over a lot of the ball handling duties on this team. And me personally, I don't know how much I loved it, but it was clearly something that was workable. Now you're in a place where if Fred isn't there, I think you're putting a lot on Aaron Holiday. He is capable of playing at a certain level with that as well. Like, I mean, he is a probably backup level point guard that any team would be comfortable playing instead of their starter. But then beyond that, who do you have kind of initiating? Who do you run your offense through? And maybe more importantly, what happens defensively? Because Amen Thompson has been very good defensively. I think he's one of the top defenders in the league when you talk about perimeter. I think he has He's held his opponents to 39% as the contesting defender, and he's the only NBA player with both 75 blocks and 75 steals, and you'd be giving up both of those things for a solid two-week period.
Yeah, and 2 weeks means you're down to, what, eight or nine games in the season, so we need to see what Van Vliet does if and when he comes back. Amen Thompson would have just, you know, like I said, 8 or 9 games before, you know, you get to the postseason. I'm not going to say things are falling apart. They're just incredibly challenging right now for the Rockets when you talk about running the point for this team. Now, the good news is maybe you just start to run the ball through other places, Alperen Şengün, et cetera.
Yeah, I do wonder if this ends up with Jalen Green more on ball at times, which this opportunity to really show a fullness of that growth. I think that he's found a little bit of consistency, but like, hey, what does that, you know, assist turnover, you know, percentage look like, or ratio rather look like, if he has the ball in his hands more and has to make more of those decisions?
Yeah.
That's something that you might have to see, but hopefully Fred VanVleet returns and you don't have to see as much of that. The next 2 weeks, 14 days has you facing off against a pretty manageable schedule. I'll run it down quickly. You have Orlando, Phoenix, Dallas, Chicago, Philly, all at home.
Very manageable.
All winnable games. Yeah. In fact, you're probably the favorite in most of, if not all of those games. Then you go on the road to Orlando, who they're an interesting team. They're kind of a little bit of a mirror team, but their offense has been really tough, especially as they've lost some of their players for the remainder of the season. You'll get Orlando and Miami on a little Florida two-step later on in the month. And then you'll get Denver. And that is probably the 14-day space where hopefully, if things go as good as possible, you will have Amen Thompson back to face off against them with the powerful team that Denver is, including a Nikola Jokic, who just had a 30-20-20 game this weekend. So, yeah, you could probably manage this. But the thing about it is if that defense suffers in a strong way, if your offense suffers even more than I guess it normally does, those are the games that you're supposed to win, and you can't really afford to drop much of those because then you come back around to a tougher stretch.
Exactly, because let's say you slip, you know, you have some, obviously you're going to have some challenges. Let's say you have some issues with the ball and the point guard position, et cetera, through these easier games. Well, at the end of the year, you're playing the Nuggets, you're playing the Suns, the Lakers, you know, all of a sudden, the end of the year, are you going to be fighting for that number four spot, you know?
But in the same way, in what's popping, I'd like to bring you to the Los Angeles Lakers. Hold on, hear me out. There is a Rockets tie-in here. LeBron James is dealing with a strained groin that's going to take him out supposedly for a week to 2 weeks as well. Like, he is in that space where he might miss time. Mm. LeBron James, I mean, not to say that he matters more to their team than Amen matters to the Rockets. Maybe it's similar, but he's still means a lot to that team. Luka Doncic can be a central piece. We've seen that happen in this league. But that Lakers team is very bereft of other talent. I do wonder if them sitting currently at third, does that give the Rockets an opportunity to jump back into a home court advantage type space, especially when you look at the schedule that's coming up for the Rockets? If the Lakers slide at all with not having a true center that they trust and Luka not necessarily having as many guys that you trust to pass the ball to knock down shots, maybe don't connect, takes more space, but I don't know who is going to replicate the 26 points a game that LeBron James had been bringing you. Mm-hmm. Does that bring the Lakers back to a place where now you're in a place to possibly get back into? Because what is the lead? I think the Lakers have you by three games in the loss column.
Yeah.
This gives you an opportunity maybe over the stretch of 5-6 games to possibly catch up to them and give yourself an opportunity.
It goes both ways because now you've got the softer part of the schedule where you're hurting. So it can cut both ways here. And as I mentioned, at the end of the year, I think you got the Nuggets twice, you got the Suns, you got the Lakers twice.
It'll get tough. It'll get tough. But I did find that interesting. It's an interesting time for the Rockets. They're going to have to navigate some stuff, but this also gives you an opportunity to tap deeper into that deep rotation that you have. And maybe this is Cam Whitmore's time to, hey, go get some buckets, young fella. I just wonder, what does the defense look like?
For sure.
That's the thing, that's Ime's top priority, and a big linchpin in that defense has been Amen Thompson. So he falls out of there, and that's we'll see what that looks like starting tonight against the Magic. Some other things that are popping. Did you see this that's been floating on social media?
What's that?
Stephon Diggs. I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There is a video of Stephon Diggs in full cowboy accoutrement, to be as snooty as I possibly can in this moment, right? Full cowboy get up, if I want to be as I guess, pedestrian, for lack of a better term, at rodeo, at the Houston Rodeo.
Ron is punching the air right now.
He's all dressed up in rodeo. He had gear. Tassels in there. He had the cowboy hat. And this has been going around. I think this popped up on a TikTok account called Blitz Fits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, first and foremost, is this modern? Like, is this year?
It was this weekend, wasn't it?
I think that was what people were thinking, but I was like, there's a possibility that this could be one of those instances where he was here last year at the rodeo, and then that video came back around. I don't have good answers to it.
Did he get traded around this time last year, though, during rodeo season?
Man, I don't remember at this like the exact time.
Right, and that was the thing I was asking. So if that's the case, do you put any stock in that? On the possibility of the return of Stefan?
No, not zero.
No? Okay.
Zero. And here's the other thing about that. When I saw it, I wanted to not like the look. But I thought he pulled it off. He kind of pulled it off. It looked pretty good. You know?
I
wanted to be like Ron. You know, like you know, what is this? You know, drugstore cowboy. It actually looked pretty good on him. It really did.
See, here's what he had to say in that particular quick short clip.
Mm-hmm.
Say, little lady,
the
show is nice to meet you.
Say, little lady, a show is nice to meet you. Which, also, considering the
thing. Why are you talking to Cardi B like
You went where I was going. Yeah, you went where I was going. Yeah. I was like, hey, man. No. But, yeah, he. I think he looked good in the circumstance.
Yeah, he pulled it off.
But, yeah, I think largely people have come to the feeling over the weekend that Stephon Diggs out of the space of returning to the Texans. But I don't know. I think they gave some folks a little bit of hope that maybe he's just enjoying Houston so much that he'll come back around.
Yeah, you can enjoy it. You can enjoy it all you want. Doesn't mean you're playing there.
Especially considering he had kind of, he kind of held the position of that slot that it seems like Christian Kirk will.
Yeah.
I mean, if he does return, you feel good with him on the outside of that Z position, right?
Sure. I guess that's an option, but I think they're going to draft.
Yeah, does. It still feels like that. There's a necessity to draft.
And I think it depends on the price and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you could do both, but I think it really depends on how much Diggs is trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. That's what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I kind of wanted to do this. We've been talking about this as you head into free agency. This is not going to be last year's free agency. Last year, you spent a good amount of money. But let's do a little bit of an evaluation. Did the Texans spend wisely last season, and how does that give us confidence headed into this free agent period? We'll do that next.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.